that he restoreth my soul this week and next, and we'll move on to the next phrase. But we ought to be very thankful that the Lord restores our soul. That, of course, speaks of his love for us, speaks of his grace, his mercy, certainly manifests his patience or long suffering with us. Lost man would have the attitude that, well, if he restores my soul, then I can sin and everything will be okay. And Paul addressed that issue in Romans chapter 6, especially, that some would take that attitude concerning salvation. Well, if the Lord's salvation is free, if it's by grace, then I can live like I please. But the truth is, the Lord saves your soul, that changes that attitude. Anyone that has that attitude has every reason to examine whether or not they've been saved. But you and I that are saved, it ought to give us great joy to know that there is restoration of soul. And it is a work of the Lord. And he's the only one who can do it. He uses many means, as we've seen, but it almost always comes back to, it, well, really always, his word. He uses his word. He can do it in many different forms. He uses his spirit. Sometimes the Lord, in restoring a soul, may and does use people. We see this all through the scriptures. We see it in salvation. We're just a tool. We need to realize that we are a tool in his hand, the instrument in his hand. The credit does not go to us. The credit goes to the one who uses the instrument. And the Lord does use men or people in bringing about restoration of soul. And a good example, of course, would be David and Nathan. If we turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on this particular means of God restoring a soul, but verse 1, it says, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David." It's a very important phrase. The Lord sent Nathan. It tells us something about Nathan. It tells us that God spoke to him. God spoke to Nathan. God sent Nathan to David. God worked on Nathan before he sent Nathan to David. You and I could fall into sin. God may not at the moment directly deal with us. He may deal with another person regarding us and then send that person to us. And Nathan didn't have to figure out what to say. Sometimes we spend too much time trying to figure out what to say to someone. If the Lord sends you to someone, he will also give you the words to speak. So the Lord sent Nathan unto David. He did so to confront David with his sin. He did so to restore David. And you know the story. Nathan told a story or a parable to David about a rich man who had many flocks and many herds, and there was a poor man who had one little lamb. And he had brought this lamb up, he had nourished this lamb. And then we know what happens. The rich man takes his lamb. And David immediately responds in anger, verse 5, having no idea, doesn't see himself in the story at all. That shows you something about sin. And verse 10, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. This man should be put to death, David says. Well, unbeknownst to David, he's talking about himself. But the fact is, David had done far worse. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he had done this thing and because he had no pity. And then verse 7, and Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. And I believe right then and there, the Holy Spirit smote the heart of David like never before. And then he went on and spoke the words that God had given him. Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel and delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And he goes on, I gave you all of these things. And of course, what he did to Uriah by committing adultery with Bathsheba. And I believe David was restored. There were some scars for David's sin because Nathan told him, the sword shall not depart out of your house. And you follow the history from there. David's family was a mess. And I believe that was the sword in David's house. I mean, incest, they just horrible things. And it all went back to David's sin. But David, he was restored. His soul was restored. And you can read Psalm 51, which is a repentance psalm. David's psalm of repentance gives you some idea what David felt at this time. And we've already looked at that, that God uses repentance to grant restoration. But God may use an individual to bring that individual repentance. But it'll be an individual with a message of the Lord. Next, the Lord brings restoration of soul by speaking to His people. God can speak directly to His people. We see this all through the Scriptures. In Genesis 7, in verse 1, and the Lord said unto Noah. The Lord said unto Noah. Genesis 13, 14, and the Lord said unto Abram. Genesis 18, verse 13, and the Lord said unto Abraham. God speaking to His people. Genesis 31, 3, and the Lord said unto Jacob. Exodus 4, verse 4, and the Lord said unto Moses. Joshua 3, verse 7, and the Lord said unto Joshua. Judges 7, verse 2, and the Lord said unto Gideon. 1 Samuel 8, verse 7, and the Lord said unto Samuel. 2 Samuel 5, verse 19, and the Lord said unto David, and you can go on and on and on. But the point is, the Lord speaks to His people. And throughout the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Amos and Zechariah, we read the phrase over and over and over, the Lord said unto me. The Lord said unto me. You have the phrase, thus saith the Lord. Occurs over 413 times in the King James Version of Scriptures. Thus saith the Lord. In other words, God speaks. God has spoken. And what God speaks is nothing new to what He's already said. Everything that God has to say today, He's already said it. He's already said it. It doesn't change. But God does speak. We read of the Word of the Lord, and it's talking about not so much the Scriptures as it's referring to the voice of the Lord. And that occurs 255 times. The Lord hath spoken 58 times. The voice of the Lord 48 times. God said 46 times. Again, all of these phrases reveal this truth. The Lord speaks. The Lord's not silent. The Lord speaks. And He speaks to His people. He speaks through His people. He speaks to His people. Notice in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry or various times and in divers or various manners or ways. So there's various manners, various ways. Spake. God speaks in various ways. He has done this in time past. He mentions some of the ways He spake unto the fathers by the prophets. He spoke unto them by the prophets, by the preachers. He spoke to the preachers before He spoke to the fathers by the preachers. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, by Jesus Christ. God speaks through the person of Christ. Again, John chapter 1, verse 1, He's the Word. He's the Word. He's the Word of God. God speaks, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. So God doesn't speak anything new. There are no new revelations. There are no contradictions. Whatever God said 5,000 years ago, He does not contradict today. There are no contradictions with God. And that is why when someone says, God told me such and such, but what they claim that God told them is contrary to the Word of God, it can't be. And that's one way to measure if God's speaking or not. God does not contradict His Word. He doesn't contradict what He's already said. So whatever He tells us is going to be in line with what He's already said. I've had, people here even will tell me of an experience that they've just had, and they'll say, now, this may seem strange, but it's like the Lord just spoke to me in an audible voice. There's nothing strange about that. That ought to be a common occurrence. As long as we realize He doesn't speak contrary to His Word. God does speak to His people. And at times it's so powerful that it is like an audible voice. See, we Baptists have allowed Pentecostalism to scare us to death about God speaking. God does speak. I'm not so sure He speaks to the Pentecostals. God does speak. And He speaks to His people. But again, it does not contradict what Scriptures teach. God does not speak to you and tell you to marry an unsafe person. God doesn't do that. That contradicts His Word. God doesn't tell you to commit fornication. God doesn't tell you to do that. There may be a voice telling you to do that, but it's not the Lord. Don't accuse the Lord of that. So there are no new revelations. There are no contradictions. When God speaks to us, whatever means that He uses, does He ever speak that which is unnecessary? No, I don't think so. Everything God says is necessary. So if God speaks to us, we need to take heed, because it's necessary. Does God ever speak anything that's frivolous? No, He doesn't. It's important. If God speaks to us, it's important. And really, every time we read God's Word, every time we pray, we ought to feel the Lord speaking to us. So God speaks. What does that mean? God speaks to us. Well, it means to speak is to express ourselves. We express ourselves when we speak. So that God speaks means that God expresses Himself. Aren't you glad? God isn't all mystery. He expresses Himself. When we speak, we reveal a thought. Before a word's a word, it was a thought. So, He expresses His thoughts. We ought to be very interested in the thoughts of God. God expresses Himself. He reveals and makes known by His Word, by His speaking, Himself. But what else does He reveal and make known by speaking to us? His will. His will. Now again, we've said many times, and we don't mean to get off on this, but people have some strange ways of determining the Lord's will for their lives, and they're not scriptural. But God does speak and reveal His will to us. And again, His will is never contrary to anything that He's already said. He reveals what it is that pleases Him. That is, He speaks personally to us. What is right? God reveals to us what is right. What is best. And God's will is always right. God's will is always best. Now, I'm not going to try and convince someone that has searched God's will and they've done it in a scriptural way, and it may not make sense to me, and it may not be something that I like. But I'm not going to argue with them if God has spoken and they can explain. But when they start to go contrary to God, now you've got a different issue. I mean, you're a confused individual. And so He tells us His will. What's most advantageous to us? Whatever God says to us will work. May not make sense to us. He does not reason as we reason, and vice versa. But what He says will work. Always does. And it will bring about that which will glorify Him. So the Lord does speak to His people. And many times He does so for this purpose of bringing about restoration of soul. I do believe that a truly saved person who falls into sin, when they first fall, God speaks. God speaks. They may not hear Him. They may disregard, whatever. But God speaks. And God continues to speak. And I do believe that we can become deaf to the voice of God through sin. But I also believe that God's voice can overcome that also, because His voice is powerful. Notice in Psalm 29, very familiar psalm, Psalm 29. The 29th Psalm speaks of the voice of the Lord. In verse 3 it says, "The voice of the Lord is upon the waters." That means is it's universal. There's nowhere you can go. You can't run. People have tried from the voice of God. God's omnipresent. And notice, is upon the waters, the God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. It's powerful. Yes, we can become deaf to the voice of God. We can disregard it, but God can intervene and speak in such a powerful way that overcomes all of that. We're thankful that God can do that. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. That is, it's inspiring. That's what brings about restoration of soul. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. That speaks of its power once again. Just a word from the Lord can break an individual, drive them to their knees, almost kill them. "Thou art the man," Nathan said to David. There was power in the voice of the Lord. "He maketh them also skip like a calf." It speaks of the moving power of the Lord's voice. "The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire." So it has separating power. "The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness." Shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. It has upsetting power. Just the voice of God. And God speaks to us. "The voice of the Lord maketh hinds to calve." It speaks of its enlivening power. Can impart life. "And discovereth the forest." That is, it reveals. The voice of God reveals. A voice can do all, one word can do all of these things at the same time. So, oh, how thankful we are that God does speak to us. And He does so to bring restoration of soul. That, by the way, makes us responsible. If God speaks, then we're responsible here. If God speaks to us, then we're responsible to lay it to heart. Job 22, verse 22. "Receive, I pray thee, the law from His mouth, and lay up His words in thine heart." There's restoration power in the words of God. We know that the Spirit of God dwells within us. And contrary to what many believe, He's not silent. The Spirit of God is not silent, nor is He dormant in our lives. He dwells in us, and He speaks. He speaks to our hearts wherever we go. He's active. Scriptures teach this. Romans 8, verse 9, Galatians 4, verse 6, we see that He dwells in us, and He both speaks and He works. Galatians 2, verse 8, Philippians 2, verse 13, leading to the restoration of soul. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, "The Holy Spirit speaketh expressly That is, he speaks in a precise manner. He speaks very explicitly. The Holy Spirit does not speak in code. The Holy Spirit does not speak and then you leave you to try and figure out what he says. God speaks very plainly. I mean, he does so in his word. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. Those are very plain statements. They need no explanation, really. God speaks explicitly. He speaks very plainly. If we have a hard time understanding what God is saying to us, it's not because God is trying to hide the meaning of his words. It's because we have sin in our lives. It's because of our own thinking and trying to fit our ways into God's ways. That's the problem. You get past that, what God says to us is very plain. It's very, very plain. We read seven times in Revelation 2 and 3, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. It goes on unto the churches. But there's a personal application there, he that hath an ear. In other words, you have to have spiritual hearing in order to hear what the Spirit says. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. That ought to always be our concern, is what does the Spirit of God have to say? And he speaks to us. When he does so, it restores. He does so to bring about restoration. He speaks to us for a lot of reasons. He speaks to us so that we'll do his bidding. But even when we fall into sin, get out of sorts, there's always hope for the child of God because the Spirit of God dwells in him. And that Spirit of God speaks. And you can try to run away, go somewhere else, get away from preaching, whatever. But the Spirit of God that dwells within a child of God will speak. He will speak. And we ought to be thankful because that is our hope of restoration. So we thank God that the Lord has something to say and that he said it and that he continues to speak to his people. The very moment we sin, that sin doesn't work this way, but if we could just stop right there and listen, we'd hear the voice of the Spirit of God directing us differently. But we all know sin doesn't work that way. Once you begin to sin, you don't have the sense to stop. Because sin makes you crazy. Causes you not to think right. Causes you to hear voices. And what do you think when someone tells you, I hear voices? Well, you think, you're nuts. But that's true spiritually too. There's people who hear a lot of voices. And it's not the Spirit of God. And they're nuts. Sin has driven them insane. But the Holy Spirit can speak in such a way to override all those other voices and bring about restoration of soul. Let's look to the Lord and word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you speak to us. We thank you, Lord, that you restore our souls, that you're even interested in restoring our soul. Lord, that you see worth in our soul to restore it. And Lord, we just thank you for all the times that you've restored our souls and how you continue to restore our souls. As Lord, we know many times we could have ruined our lives, but you restored us. And we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. We pray, Lord, that you would give us sensitive ears to your voice, that we would always be listening for your voice speaking to us. Thank you, Lord, for being our shepherd. We just pray that you'd help us today to worship you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.